Brethren, today I would ask you to turn in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Please look in your Bibles, and if you don't have yours with you, please read along in the Pew Bible as we read Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23. Matthew 8, 23. The Lord willing, we'll read through verse 27. This is probably a very familiar scripture to you. I hope it is. And it's one that I feel like God has moved me to instructed me to try to preach from this morning and bring a lesson from. Matthew 8, 23. The Word of God says this, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" If I read that correctly, brethren, that's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word, and may He open it to us this morning. May He grant me the liberty to preach and say what He would have me to say, and that you and I would hear the Word of the Lord this morning. And God would be glorified, and we'd be edified in His Word. Let's pray, brethren, to that end now. Pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for your love to us. We know, Father, that we love you because you first loved us. We thank you for that. Thank you for loving us from before the foundation of the world. Thank you for birthing us again, regenerating us. Thank you, Father, for calling us out to be servants of yours. Thank you for your Word, your written Word, for preserving it to our study and our reading to this very moment. Oh, Father, open it up to us. You've given us spiritual life, and may the Holy Spirit now come and fall fresh upon us, that I might have preaching grace, and that we all would have grace to hear your Word, and that we would rejoice in it and learn from it, and we would grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, that name above every name. Father, thank you for sparing us. Thank you for your good hand upon us. Thank you for loading us daily with benefits. Thank you for helping us day by day. Thank you for blessing your church in the earth. Bless this church, Father, the church of the living God. May Jesus always be the head of this church, this local assembly right here. Bless them and guide, we pray. Now, Lord, as we enter into the preaching of your Word, we beg again that you would grant me liberty. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, the name above every name, we pray. Amen. Brethren, I've been trying to preach a long time. I haven't been ordained as an elder too many years. I don't know, maybe 10 years. But I was a lay speaker a long time. And then I was what we call a licentiate. I was licensed to preach a long time. So I've been at this a while. But it never fails that I'm nervous about preaching. I'm nervous about standing before God's people, mainly because I want to get it right. I desperately want to get it right. And God bless me today to get it right and to honor and glorify Him. And that I and you would be instructed in the Word of God. I was thinking this week, in the last several days, about the storms that have been upon us. That's the topic of our conversation, isn't it? Talking with several of you this morning, we talked about the storms and damage, and did you have damage and power. this morning I want to focus on the power of the word power. These men, these disciples of Christ that were on this boat, brethren, they exclaimed in verse 27, "What manner of man is this?" When they saw what Jesus had done, brethren, they exclaimed, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" My Bible has an exclamation point at the end of that verse. It's more of a not a question, but just an exclamation. They're looking at what Jesus has just done, and they say, What kind of man is this? The winds and the sea obey him. In recent weeks, brethren, we've witnessed the display of the great power of nature, haven't we? Two hurricanes, one on the heels of the other. Harvey in Texas and Louisiana. Irma in Florida and parts north. Widespread destruction. The winds and the sea have done great destruction. Caused great loss of life. I heard on the news on the way over this morning that Irma, the death toll is around 40, if I've heard correctly. And great loss of life, great loss of personal property. And the most frequently asked question, at least to me of late, and that I've been asking, are questions like this. Did you lose power? Do you have power? Are you without power? I brought a clipping out of the local paper from Waycross. It says, "Florida surveys historic destruction. 13 million residents without power." I went down to my parents last Sunday, and I was not scheduled to preach, so I went there and worshiped with them, and Irma was due to arrive later that afternoon in North Florida, and so I stayed with them two or three days, and sure enough, Sunday night, we lost power in the night. My daddy's 92. He turned 92 in August, and he went outside on Monday, maybe it was Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning, and he was looking around and he said, "Goodness," he said, I had no idea the storm was that strong. He said, "I slept right through it." He didn't know about they had no major damage, but lots of limbs down out of the trees, lots of moss on the ground, and the power was out. And I began to look around, call around, and try to find a source of power for them. The last hurricane came through, Matthew it was. They lost power and they lost the contents of their freezers and their refrigerator. So to try to prevent that, we began to scurry around and look for a generator. And we were able to find one, a portable generator. I brought mine. I went to Waycross and got it and brought it back. And of course it quit, so I had to try to find another. We found another and everything's fine. But brethren, I was looking for power. I was looking for a source of power, and we lost power. Even though the source I found, it failed, and then we got another. And Mom told me a couple days ago that one failed, but they were all right. The regular power came back on after that. Brethren, power today is what I want to talk with you about. I looked up in the dictionary a definition of power, and here's what it said. The ability to act, or the ability to produce an effect. The ability to act or produce an effect. We've seen, brethren, images of Irma's and Harvey's ability to act, haven't we? And we've seen the effects of those storms. Flooded homes, businesses, houses without roofs, shells of buildings, trees uprooted, trees on power lines. Harvey and Irma, they had power. And that power is spent now. It's spent. But we see the results of it. We look at once powerful storms. We're still dealing with those effects. And we will be dealing with them. Especially those in Texas, on the coastal area in Florida. For months, if not years. So I want to talk with you, brethren, this morning about power. When this instance occurred, and it's recorded in chapter 8 of Matthew, this is, as far as I can tell, at least it's in the very next chapter, after the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus had just begun His public ministry, I believe. And if you look back at chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, if you have a red letter edition, and you probably do, those chapters are filled with the words of Jesus. It says that He went up onto a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came to Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying. That's it. That's the first two verses of chapter 5 of Matthew, and then all of chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, except the last couple of verses, are the words of Jesus. And then it says, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, He came down from the mountain, multitudes followed Him, and then, brethren, Jesus began to display His power. It says here in the second verse, the first thing that happened was, when He exercised His power, a leper came to Him. A leper. A man with a disease that physicians were powerless to cure. And he came to Jesus and he said, If you can heal me, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou clean. He touched the man. And he exercised his power. And the leper was healed. Next, a centurion came to him. A Gentile man who was probably a Roman soldier, over 100 other soldiers. And he came to Jesus and said, my servant is at home, sick, grievously tormented. That's in chapter 6. And Jesus says, I will come and heal him. I'll come and exercise my power that I have. And the centurion says, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. That is a beautiful statement to me, brethren, of a humble man who knows he's a sinner. And he says to Jesus, just speak the word. Just speak the word and he'll be whole. And Jesus, by the way, says to those around him, he says, I haven't found such great faith, not in Israel, not among my people. And he says to the man, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Jesus used his power to save that centurion's servant. And then they go to Simon Peter's house. Verse 14. Jesus has just recently called Simon Peter, a fisherman, away from his nets and his vocation. He says, come and follow me. And Peter follows him. Simon Peter and Andrew, they follow him. And James and John were called in the same way. And they get to Peter's house and his mother-in-law is sick. She has a fever. She's incapacitated by this fever. And it says in verse 15, he touched her hand and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. You see, Jesus is exercising his power there. And then the next time, right on the heels of that, verse 16, it says, when even was come, they brought him many that were possessed of devils. This morning I got here a little bit early and some of the brethren were studying the Bible here, which is wonderful. And they were talking about the occult and demons and devils and studying that. And God strictly instructs His people, stay away from that. And sometimes we take it a little lightly. We think that there's no problem with, one of the ladies mentioned, a fortune cookie. It may be just purely entertainment. Some see that. But she mentioned about how many check their horoscope. And frankly, when I was a teenager, we had a Ouija board. And brethren, parents, don't have one of those in your house. Don't mess with that. Don't. The Old and the New Testament strictly instruct us, stay away from that. Stay away from it. There were people who were possessed with devils, and it says he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Jesus is demonstrating here that he's the Son of God and that he has all power. Jesus then, brethren, he says, okay, in verse 18, he says, let's go to the other side. We're going across the sea here. And just before the scripture that we read this morning, this scribe comes to Jesus and says, oh, Master, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. I'll follow thee. Jesus, in response, says something like, be careful. Be careful what you say. Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Don't enter into this lightly. scribe. And then another disciple said, Lord, let me go bury my father first and then I'll follow you. And Jesus says, follow me now and let the dead bury their dead. And then we come to our scripture lesson for today. Verse 23. He was entered into the ship, and look at the last phrase there in verse 23. His disciples followed him. Brethren, sometimes when I'm reading the Word of God and I read it prayerfully, I'm reading along and a phrase or a word sometimes or a phrase will just jump out at me. And the Word of God is, the Spirit of God is pointing it out to me that, look, this is important. You know the verse that says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? Paul told that to Timothy, and he tells it to us. Every Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, that's important, because we need to know that this is the inerrant Word of God, and it is profitable to us. Profitable. We all want to be profitable. We want to make a profit on our investments, on our labors. We want to make a profit, brethren. And that's good. Nothing wrong with that. Not a thing wrong with that. As long as it doesn't come between you and God. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to God's people for doctrine, to teach us about God and His ways, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, instruction in the right way. And when I read this recently, he was entered into a ship and his disciples followed him. The Holy Spirit of God said to me, you claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Are you following him? We have a hymn in our hymns of grace that says, I will follow Jesus. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. Follow, follow, I will follow on. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Aren't those wonderful words? I imagine that the hymn writer was a follower of Jesus. He or she, whoever penned those words, was inspired of God, led of the Spirit, I believe, to write those words. But you know what? I've sung that hymn all my life. And I'll bet you more times than not, I just sang it, not in the Spirit, not making that promise, just lip service to God. No, follow. Follow means to follow Him wherever He goes. Old or young, thick or thin, follow Jesus wherever He goes. His disciples followed Him. Brethren, if we claim to be a disciple of Christ, we've got to follow Him. We've got to do what He says in this Sermon on the Mount. We've got to not worry when people speak ill of us. We've got to be meek. We've got to be humble. We've got to love one another. We've got to do what Jesus said. We can't pick and choose what Scriptures we're going to obey and which ones we won't. His disciples followed Him. And behold, verse 24, there arose a great tempest in the sea. I don't watch preachers on TV. Sometimes I'll watch for a few minutes, but I don't watch them. But I hear briefly when I listen to certain ones of them, there's a what preachers say these days, a sort of a prosperity gospel. That if you'll just follow Jesus, you'll be wealthy and you'll be healthy and you'll be wise and you won't have trouble. And the God will bless you. That part's right. He will bless you. But brethren, if anyone tells you that if you're entering to serve God and follow Jesus, you won't have trouble, they're either lying to you, I'm putting it very bluntly, or they don't understand. I don't know, and it doesn't matter which, it's false, brethren. Brethren, these men got into the boat with Jesus out on the sea. They followed Him and a great tempest arose. Storms are going to come. In fact, on that Sermon on the Mount, the last verses, Jesus tells us that's what's going to happen. He says, whoever hears what I've said on this sermon and does these things is going to be like this. He's going to be like a man who built a house. And when he began to dig it, he dug down deep and until he reached the rock. And then he began to build up. And he says, after that house was finished, the rain descended. And floods came, and winds blew. Just what's happening to this boat on the sea. Jesus says the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not. for it was founded upon a rock. Now, brethren, those were Jesus' last words in the Sermon on the Mount. And then he gave the converse of that. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them is like a foolish man that built his house on sand. He's talking about how we build and how we live our lives. Jesus has to be the bedrock of our lives, brethren, and the Word of God, the teachings of Jesus. Because, brethren, the rain is going to come. It's going to. The winds are going to beat upon the house. The floods are going to come. Just like we've seen, I bet you've got mental images of those houses in Texas and those houses in Florida and in the islands down there. It's going to come. But you've got to be founded upon Jesus. Jesus, brethren, continues on. He's asleep on the ship. The disciples wake him up. He's asleep. He's asleep in the ship. The great tempest comes. The ship is covered with waves. I visualize that they're breaking over the side of the ship and it's swamping the ship. And Jesus is asleep. Why is he asleep, brethren? How can he sleep through such as that? Because, brethren, he's the Son of God. He's fully God. He's fully man. But he's not worried about the outward circumstances. You know, when Satan came to him to tempt him, Jesus had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan says, if you're who you say you are, turn these stones into bread. He was hungry. But you know what he said? There are more important things than eating right now. He came to do the will of the Father. Jesus, brethren, was about his Father's business always. And here he was resting in the ship. And the disciples, verse 25 says, they came to him and awoke him saying, Lord, save us. We perish. Five words in that prayer right there. That's a short prayer, isn't it? Lord, save us. We perish. A prayer doesn't have to be long, but it needs to be effectual and fervent. And I'll bet you this one was. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James tells us. Lord, save us. There's a shorter prayer in the Bible than that, and that's when Simon Peter was sinking in the ocean, and he said, Lord, save me. Three words. Jesus answered that prayer. He reached down and pulled him up and saved him. Prayers don't have to be long. They just have to be fervent and from the heart. And they need to be from a righteous man who's obeying Christ. And he hears those prayers and he answers. Jesus says to them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Such that the men said, they marveled, and they said, what manner of man is this? The winds and the sea obey him. Last Sunday night when Irma arrived at my parents' home, I was upstairs and it sounded like someone was downstairs with the garden hose with the squirt thing on it, just squirting my window. The wind was like there was a blowing rain coming on my window. And I, brethren, was praying, Lord, save us, spare us. And I thought, you know, he has the power to do that. And he did. And he spared us and spared us really any harm. The winds and the waves obey Christ Jesus. He has all power. He said, one of the last things he said before his ascension was, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. You know, we serve a mighty God. I want to give you a quote from Spurgeon. My devotion a few days ago fit right in with the storms we've been experiencing. He says this, winds and waves will not spare us, but they all obey him, talking about Jesus. And therefore, whatever squalls may come without or outside, faith shall feel a blessed calm within. I had a calmness the other night. I was a little bit nervous, but I had a calmness that peace that comes from God, because I knew I was in his hands and that the winds and the waves obey him and that he loves me. And I knew that to live is Christ and to die is gain. And whatever came, God was in control. And he's still in control. This event of the storm at sea occurred shortly after that Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus teaches us that rains do come and floods come and storms beat in our lives. But if we're founded on Jesus, there's no need to fear. No need to fear when we're founded on the rock. I want to talk to you now in closing about the power of Jesus. He has power over the wind and the sea, as demonstrated by the account of verse 27. He commands them, like a parent would say to an unruly child, "Sit down, be still." The unruly child doesn't always obey, does he or she? But the winds and the waves obeyed Jesus. He has all power. "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Matthew 28, verse 18. Brethren, Jesus walks on the water. You know that? He walked on the water. He made it. I guess he can walk on it if he wants to. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He made everything. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." That's John's Gospel, chapter 1. Verse 3, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And He became flesh and began to dwell among us. And teach us that the winds and the waves come, but He's the master of those things. He walks on water. He made it. He helped Peter walk on the water, and Peter walked on the water. We walk over the storms of life as long as our eyes are fixed upon Jesus, brethren. I don't care what the storm is. I don't know what the storm is in your life. You've been through them. You'll go through them. If you live a little longer, you'll go through them again. But brethren, Jesus will carry you through those storms if you keep your eyes upon Him. He walks on the water. He walks in the fiery furnace with Shadrachs, Meshachs, and Abednego's of this world, who keep their eyes on Him, who say, "O King, we will not worship your idol. We will not do it. We serve the one true and living God." And they got thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Didn't we throw three people in there? I see four up walking. And the fourth is like the Son of God." That's Jesus, brethren. He walks on the water. He walks through the storms of life. He walks through the fiery furnace. The flames had no power over them. Jesus protected them. So back to the question that we've been asking one another of late. Do you have power? Do you have power? Did you lose power? Is the power back on? We sing another hymn that I've sung all my life. There's power, power, wonder-working power. You know it, don't you? The Primitive Baptists know it. Y'all know it? All right. Good. There's wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. That's the God we worship. That's Jesus, brethren, that we worship. All power is His. The storms will come. They come. But brethren, there's power in the one true and living God that you and I worship. You know, what I suffered was the loss of electrical power for a few hours. It was off at my house too, but it was fine. Came back on. It's fine. I suffered that. My parents suffered the loss of electrical power for several days. They're fine. People further south suffered more than we did. I just want to mention this. I was in a church service Friday night in Atlanta, and the pastor is a wonderful fellow. He said, "You all please pray for the people who lost their homes in Texas and Florida." And he should say that, and we should pray for them. But also, brethren, we need to help them somehow or another. You do, and I do. They're children of God there, and we need to help them. Find a church that's a good charity, or any charity you think is reputable and good. Need to support it. I haven't been to Texas, but I did get on the internet and signed up with Samaritan's Purse to go out there and work. That was between Harvey and Irma, and now I'm thinking I'll see if they'll send me to Florida, and I hope to go. I plan to go. I want to go. I want to pray for them, and I have been praying for them. But brethren, I also need to put the shoe leather to that. I need to put the boots on the ground with that. I need to send money, or I need to go. I need to do something more than pray. Praying is great and it's wonderful, and we're to pray for one another, but I need to do more, and I urge you to do more. Do you have power? In closing, yes, you do. The Apostle Paul wrote more of the New Testament than any other. He said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I have power through Christ. And you have power through Christ. You may or may not have electrical power, but you've got something more powerful, brethren. You got the power of Christ. Christ in you. Christ in you. The power of the living God. I urge you to exercise that power. I'm thankful for that power. I pray for those in the storm. I'm thankful that I didn't suffer much loss at all. I pray for those who have, and I want to exercise any power I have to go and help them in some way or another. The power of Jesus, brethren, cleansed you from your sins. It saved you from eternal wrath of God. The power of Jesus. And He gives you power day by day. Thank God for the power of Christ in our lives. Use it and rejoice in it. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You've loved us and You've saved us. I thank You, Father, for sparing us in the recent storms of life. Father, You teach us that storms do come and will come. When they do, Lord, may we have built our lives upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground, we know, O God, is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. May we build upon Christ. Thank You for the power in the name of Jesus. Thank You for this lesson. May it be pleasing to You, Lord, glorifying to You, honoring to You, and edifying to Your people. In the name of Jesus, the strong and powerful name of Jesus, that name above every name, we pray. Amen. Brethren, thank you for your attention and your prayers. We're going to sing a closing hymn at this time. And as we sing, we announce the open door of the church for the reception of members. If you love Jesus and you're not united with the Church of Jesus Christ in this community, you have the opportunity to unite as we stand and sing this closing hymn. Brother Edward. 241. Yes. Thank you.